The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I'm gonna keep it.
Hi, everybody. This is Sarah.
And this is Megan.
You are listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Welcome.
Yeah. We're glad you're here. Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it a lot. We're still surprised that we have people that listen. We're very...
Sometimes they do.
We're very shocked.
Thanks. So if you are just tuning in, this is a comedy murder podcast.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you don't really think those go together because it's inappropriate, but I mean, we try to, I don't know.
It might not seem funny, but just wait.
Yeah.
Sarah will get going and it'll be just a fucking shit show in no time.
If my antidepressants so kicked welcome. In good.
I'm hoping they did.
I hope so.
So what's up, Sarah? How was your week?
Pass. Pass. How was your week?
I'm crying laughing. I can talk about one thing we did.
We can.
Which
or you can. Yeah.
Well, you can help.
I can.
We emceed the annual Project Pink fundraiser at our favorite restaurant in Prairie Lake, Charlie's.
We did. It was super fun.
Yes. So it is a breast cancer fundraiser for the Hope Chest, which does a lot of things, but also helps not just women who have breast cancer, but their families, and make sure they have groceries and can get to and from doctor's appointments and just all this super cool stuff. So we made over $10,000.
No way. Yeah. Last year was six.
Last year we made $6,000. We made $10,600 this year. I know. So it is super fun. There's a style show. So all of the small boutiques in town have models of their, you know, new fall and winter styles who are breast cancer survivors or who have been affected by breast cancer in some way. So the models are awesome. The stories are sad sometimes, but uplifting. And then they have just silent auction and fun stuff and shopping afterwards. So we were honored to do that. And proud.
Yeah, it really proud. And just to be a part of it is incredible. Why they would want...
Just our to... foul mouths. I said the F word one time and then I felt really bad.
No, I mean, they don't care. I mean, if you
couldn't control, it was like I forgot where I was for a second. Or
but
I
already, the F word is perfect when you're fighting cancer because it's all fucked and it's not fair and it's shitty.
Yeah.
And that word fits perfectly. And if people were upset by that, well, then
fuck
why
them,
are you there? People
right?
have cancer.
Yeah.
Be upset by that, not the F word.
Yeah.
And nobody cared. And nobody was listening because everyone was hammered.
I was half hammered.
Yeah, we were hammered too.
In our rider, just joking, we don't have one, but I was like, hey, can we just get a bottle of Prosecco to put on our desk? And they gave us one.
I know.
So I was pretty, I couldn't say oophorectomy at the end.
We couldn't say any of the words. I mean, and people are shocked. We couldn't say any, but we tried. I mean, we did try.
So that's one thing we did.
I know. That makes you feel good that you can at least have some little part in helping maybe somebody else or help someone feel a little bit better.
That makes up for all the shitty things we say about people we hate for the rest of the week, right?
Yeah, but if I say something shitty about someone I hate, I don't care.
Okay.
So, I mean... I guess. I mean, like, if I went up to an old grandma and kicked her right in the hoo-ha, I might feel bad. I don't know.
But maybe.
I don't think I'd do that. I do have a glitter in a shittery week because I just kind of had a shitty week. I did. Yeah. And you don't want to know what it is. It's what? Nerdy.
Oh.
All right. It's a new little app for your phone or your iPad. It's a game. It's a word game. You like word games.
I love them.
This is a good one. It's called Not Words, but K-N-O-T, Words. And it looks like a crossword puzzle, and you're making words, but you get like a little, almost like a Tetris block. And let's say there's five blocks, and they give you five letters, and you have to arrange those letters into words that fit into other blocks that make connect words or whatever. It's hard. Like it's really
an app, or do you play it online?
It was in the app store. I think it's just an app game, like a game from the app store. It's called Not Words. I like it. It's hard. And so when you get a really...
So I'll be playing that for the rest of the hour.
Yeah, and there's some that I was like stuck on for like 2 days trying to get, you know, and so it's challenging.
Okay.
And then some are really easy, but some are really challenging. And some of the words are like, is this really a word? I've never heard this word because I don't have
sometimes
that big
that
vocabulary.
Sometimes that happens to me on Quirtle.
Yeah, and I'm like, I've never heard this word.
That isn't even a fucking word.
Yeah.
Quirtle.
But that's a good one. Not words. K-N-O-T, words.
I'm going to look it up. So my glitter in the shitter is, I actually got it a while ago. Well, actually, I bought it over a year ago because I pre-ordered it. But you all know that one of my favorite people in the world is Jen Hatmaker, and Sarah wants to murder her and all my other friends.
I don't say
she's a grifter. Like,
I say she's Hollis adjacent, and Hollis is absolutely horse shit trash. Mm-hmm. But I think she's distanced a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think she has. I mean, I wanted to scream at her that, like, last year when she took a picture with Dave Hollis. I was like, ew.
And he has no...
But she hasn't mentioned him lately, and she's really in love with Tyler Merritt, her new boyfriend.
And he's cute, and he seems to have, like, standards.
Shit going
on,
yeah.
I mean, like, actually does stuff... selflessly. While Dave Hollis does everything for a grift to be a lazy asshole.
Right. And
that's my only deal.
I've just always loved her. I liked her because I was looking for a way to be religious without being a crazy ass Christian lunatic like everyone I hate. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like she finally had found a good mix. She started out, I think, really kind of conservative and really grew, and I admired that about her, and she wrote about it, and she has, you know, she has children that she adopted from Ethiopia. She has one of her daughters is gay. She has one who is like total right wing, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. She just runs the gamut and loves people for who they are.
Yeah.
I always liked that. But anyway, another thing that I always liked was she would once in a while post some shit that she would make. She's like an awesome cook, and she has 1,000 kids, so she would always make a shit ton of food. And when she wrote her recipes on her Facebook and Instagram and stuff, they were always hysterical, like, because she's funny. And so she wrote a cookbook. It's called Feed These People. And I pre-ordered it, and it finally came in the mail. And it's my favorite cookbook of all times. It is easy. You have most of the stuff already there. I made this unbelievable blue cheese salad dressing, like just homemade. And it was so easy and tasted 1,000 times better than what you buy.
It's getting really, really good reviews and selling really well.
I made polenta, which I'd never made before.
I don't even know what that is.
I made these really... easy. It's just called peppered noodles. I don't know. The shit in there is super good. I'm excited. The next thing I want to make is salmon, but I want to go to get like actual salmon from a meat counter, you know, not just like the frozen salmon patties I have in my freezer. Yeah. So,
well, that's good. It does. I mean, it looks good. And you know, she knows how to cook.
Yeah.
Like, she's not just making all that up.
No.
Like, yeah, so I mean, that's authentic. I appreciate that.
Also, puts Cholula on everything. Hot
I don't
sauce.
Know what that is. Oh, yes, that.
And I've always
well, she's a Texan.
I'm very Norwegian, so I've always been kind of afraid of hot sauce. Mm-hmm. But I am now obsessed with Cholula, and I put it on everything. Like, I doused my tater tot hot dish last night with Cholula.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too. Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch.
A gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit, bitch, and be fierce on a huge-ass couch.
While we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy.
And cunty.
With us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
Good. You cook too, but you're a very good cook too, I think.
I do like to cook, yeah.
I am not.
Well, see, I just
like... But you like it and enjoy it, and yes, you appreciate good recipes.
Yeah, because I like to eat.
And you're very good at it. I think that's...
So I it's like one that. Of my favorite things ever. I just literally look at
I'm
it.
I'm glad you like it so much.
Yep.
And I mean,
feed these people.
If she starts her shit again with them,
I know you'll be so mad. And I'll write her.
Yeah.
And say no. This.
I think she got a lot of people writing her, and that's why. I think she knew. Oops. All right. In our Facebook group, we have a Facebook group. We would love for you to join if you listen. It's full of funny fuckers, and so we like to point out these funny fuckers. One that got me, I loved, was from Becky Haney, Becky. It's like a Twitter, and we have this dick named Odie who says, "I miss the times women had to wash dishes, cook, clean, and weren't allowed to speak." And then we get Tanya with Hot Fire saying, "I miss the times when men would go off to war and die there." She responds. So he's saying, "I miss the times when women had to just wash dishes, cook, and clean." And Tanya says, "I miss the times men would go to war and die."
Yes! I love it.
Oh, I would laugh and laugh because, God, men are dumb.
They're just so fucking dumb.
They're fucking dumb. I mean, just absolute fucking morons. And Odie, what the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Name Odie or whatever.
Why are you named that?
I don't know.
Why are you what you are? I hated the one where Anita Hagerman put the parking spots, and then
they spelled
everything fucking wrong so bad.
Because dummies are everywhere. It's an epidemic.
Principal was L-E. Secretary was secretary.
That one I laughed. The secretary is here.
It's like Nell. Tay and a Wan.
Yeah, Tay and a Wan.
Secretary here. Tay and a Wan.
Tay and a Wan here.
And then liaison. But I have to admit, I fucking can never spell.
No one knows how to spell these. I know. So we'll give them that.
But
one.
That was wrong. That was
so funny.
Yeah.
And they're like, "This is not a joke.
This really happened.
And it was at a school."
I know. How fucking embarrassing. Yeah. The other favorite thing on the internet this week on the Facebook was Michelle Goldner getting to go to a fucking conference for work, and Boys to Men did the private show.
Please.
Why was I not there?
Because we have jobs where the private show would be by
we'd have
Engelbert
to put on
Humperdinck.
No, it would be like a lookalike.
Yeah,
magician slash.
Yeah, it'd be a shitty magician who only did like penis puppetry, and it would be so inappropriate. And we'd be like, "What?"
They wouldn't even do that.
No,
let's be
they
real.
They wouldn't do that. It would
they
be
would
cheese
make
whiz
us put on our own skits. Yeah. They'd say, "You have 20 minutes. Make up a funny skit about."
And then
school.
We would be observed how shitty our skits were
and
yelled at.
We'd be
fucking assholes.
We'd be rated on the Danielson model and have to have a post observation about how shitty our skit was.
Yeah.
But she got to see Wanye, and he's fucking amazing. And Michelle, I love you.
I'm glad she got to see it.
For taking so many pictures and
she knew.
So many videos.
Oh, she's the best.
You know the way to my heart.
We have three wonderful new Patreons.
We do?
Yes.
Are y'all getting that? Is everybody getting their?
Well, they're getting it once I get it out of my Jeep into the mail center.
Oh my god! I
meant
help
to
you
mail
with that.
It after school. I had deodorant conferences. I had a terrible week last week. Saturday, I had the thing, so I had it in my car, and I couldn't quite make it in time to the mail.
Because then we were drunked up.
And then I meant to go after work today, and then I had terrible things happen. And so tomorrow, they are leaving, and I have Jeff S., who is getting a sticker pack, too. And
these are our new patrons.
Yeah, I have everything in my car to mail for the 20s, the Momoas, and the 15s. Mm-hmm. And Jeff is getting his stickers, and I'm sending some other packs to, like, Drew, who I'm going to send Gianna, mm-hmm. who sent us lovely,
our glasses?
No, the things.
The clean.
A coaster, that's what I'm trying to say.
She sent drank us a with that all
Gianna,
night.
Yes, we
yeah.
did. Gianna sent us that. I'm going to send Judy, my ex-roommate, some stickers, too, because she's been... So I'm sending all those out, but I just have had a terrible...
Pass. It was just a pass week.
So we have new ones, though. We have Julie Nosco. Thank
Jules.
You. Sarah Hahn.
Thank you, Sarah.
And Dina Solomon. Solomon is probably correct. Dina and Sarah and Julie, we love you. Thank you so much. We're planning an episode to get on there very soon for this month.
Oh yeah, what are we gonna do?
I have an idea of one, a good one. And I'm gonna try to get some little other things up there now that I might have some time. I might have some time. All right, we had some people send us some ideas. Which is good. If you find an episode that works, if you're watching Discovery or something we haven't covered, and it's good, just send it to us, because we just have a list, and sometimes it's just good to have a list instead of sitting there and hunting. And if you know there's a really good one or whatever. So The Perfect Murder is a show, and it's, again, reenactment and interviews that we love.
There was a reenactment in this
one.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
I thought, oh.
And it came out of nowhere and didn't fit in anywhere.
It really did.
And I was like, wait. And I thought I got to the wrong show or something. I like flipped, something went wrong. And I'm like, well, no, it's in the show. Oh, it was a doze. All right. So this is The Perfect Murder, season 1, episode 1. It was fucked.
It's so funny.
Yeah. So dumb.
Really dumb.
And it's called Heart Shot. Mm-hmm. And it's from 1999. Again, the 90s were, I mean, the 70s were a lot of killings, but man, the 90s were a lot of killings.
And we were just like drinking our faces off at college. It could have been us at any point in time.
I was married to
That's the worst. That's the most dangerous time. Was I married? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You were.
I was for a little while. Yep.
To a monster douchebag.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So The Perfect Murder, Heart Shot, 1999. So 1999, one of the biggest controversies, which in today's standards would be like, I mean, please, was that Britney Spears was on Rolling Stone in her little bra and a little tiny open shirt and a little tiny shorts and still looked like a 16-year-old, because some deodorants wear just a bra and an underwear and they can to school.
Every day to school. Yep.
And that was a huge, huge deal of controversy and no-no, and people were so upset. And you look at it now and you're like, what in the goddamn hell? And then Britney herself is just naked on Instagram all the time.
24/7.
And nobody gives two fucks.
She just puts like one finger over her boobs.
No, she's literally had her tits out on another one.
And then she just holds them and her vag is, and she's like in the sand.
Yeah. She's got sand up in that vag.
So far up there.
Oh, it's up there. It's working in sort of like a gizzard. Like she's like, like she's getting sand in her
it's
gizzard.
In her craw.
Like
yeah, that helps her digest.
I think
things,
it does. But I thought, my God, just give the girl just needed to not be fucked with all the time. I don't know, because she's mental now,
it's
and we can't help
her.
Nope. It's traumatized.
Well, that's what trauma does to your brain.
Yeah,
when you go through trauma before your brain is fully developed.
It's there because she's there. She's not here. She's there.
Those synapses don't close.
Shows people are watching. I never watched Freaks and Geeks. Did you?
No, I've seen one or two episodes.
Sopranos. Never I only watched the first season.
I didn't even watch it.
And West Wing. I never watched it.
Love.
I think I would have, but I just never did.
But I didn't finish the whole thing. And my sister Hannah was obsessed with it.
I should go. I just never.
Rob Lowe's in it.
Well, I mean, I just never started. So I was always like, if I didn't start it, I can't join it.
That could be something.
You know, and I was like, so. Yeah, I could go back and look at.
Yeah.
Angel, I watched that, of course.
Because is that with David Bory?
Yes. SpongeBob started that year. Isn't that weird? It seems like it. Rachel's very first movie she went to was a SpongeBob movie.
Really?
She was tiny. Yeah. Family Guy started, and that's still on. Mm-hmm. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was enormous. Like, everybody was watching that, and one night they said it beat football.
God, I would kill people on that game. I'm so good at it. Weird trivia shit.
Yeah.
We are both so good
at it. And if you had, like,
yeah.
smart people you could call, you maybe were golden. I don't know.
I would have called you.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have panicked and had terrible anxiety. What were people dancing to or?
Well, they were dancing to "Do You Believe in Life and Love?"
Yeah,
I can feel something inside me. I Don't Want No Scrubs.
Oh.
Every morning there's a halo hanging from the corner of my girlfriend's football's bed. Remember that song? No.
Yeah, I do.
Sugar Ray.
Yes.
I used to think that guy was so cute.
Yeah, he didn't age well.
Something.
Yeah. The Graph, is that
Yep. And Livin' La Vida Loca.
Of course.
Oh, there's
was
no
that when J-Lo did her
Ricky Martin.
J-Lo stuff that year?
I don't see a lot of J-Lo.
Oh,
I see Britney Spears had Sometimes I Run.
Oh.
Sometimes I Cry. A lot of Destiny's Child. Say My Name, Say My Name. Damn, I'm pretty. Oh, Uncle Cam, Nutbar's husband, loves this. Casey and JoJo were big. Tell me it's real. Feelings that you feel. Oh, my God. We should listen. How they do that with your, you know how they make their voices sound like robot-y?
I don't care Casey for that. I don't like that, and I hate it. I just don't like it. Something about it is too unnatural, and it's it makes me think.
Do you remember
that Satan
Summer?
Is coming. Yeah, Satan.
Do you remember Summer Girls by LFO?
Yes, of course.
Some of them girls got it going on
because
was
it was like
99.
They just took words from those magnets on a fridge and just threw them on the floor and then made a
I
song.
Like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. Chinese food makes me sick. And I think it's fly when
and
girls
then
stop by.
That guy passed.
Summer, he passed away.
Yeah, he passed.
He had cancer. Mm. Fucking cancer.
It just is awful.
Bad. Anyway, that's what we were dancing to.
That not bad. Not
no,
bad.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, just nice, actually. You
know?
What,
you know what else was nice?
What?
Was that cute video you posted of the gorilla
loving
the baby.
I know.
I wanted to cry.
Animals have feelings. They do.
I wanted that lady to break the glass and give it to the gorilla, but then
the gorilla
would have killed
it.
Yeah.
Ate it and then pooped on it or something.
Or just like grabbed it by the arm and ran backwards.
Yeah.
But still, she looked like, then she was like, look at my baby.
I know.
She
put it together. I know. They're,
God damn
they're smart.
It.
And they hurt when you kill their whole family in front of them and bulldoze down their homes.
Yeah, I think
I mean, they get sad.
Their feelings. Yeah.
Oh, I hate people.
I do,
God
too.
Damn it.
Okay, anyway, sorry. Yeah. I just thought of that when you said that.
Let's
nice.
Go to Williamsport.
Let's talk about this fucking hot mess.
Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Williamsport, yep. Pennsylvania. We're going to 1999, beginning of the year, January 15th. It's probably cold and shitty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Sunday. Paula and Dean Peters... They're nervous. They're getting worried. They're upset a bit. They went to church and their goddamn kid went to Sunday school because he can't sit still in the church and like makes fart noises. So they put him in the Sunday school. And Miriam, their friend, Miriam Illis, wasn't there to teach Sunday school, and no other fucker was going to step in and teach it, because God damn, anyone's going to teach Sunday school. It has to be a saint. You don't want all those kids seeing terrible things and picking their nose and farting and running all over. And Miriam doesn't. She loves it. So Miriam was the Sunday school teacher, and she'd done it for years. She loves doing it. She never skipped. She never was gone. If she had to be gone, she always said, I'm not going to be there, you know, like a normal person, and told people. Right. But she wasn't there. And Paula and Dean brought their weird kid home. I don't know if they have a kid. I'm just assuming. They brought him home and locked him in his room. They called Miriam. She didn't answer her phone. And they called again and again, and she wasn't answering their phone. And so Dean and Paula decided they're going to drive to her house and check on her. Because you would, if your friend's acting weird and not answering the phone, you're just going to see one of you. You think they fell down somewhere and they can't get up. I mean, that's what you think. They fell somewhere and knocked their head out or something happened.
Remember when you did that and you buried your phone?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we came that's to a check different on you. Type of thing. They went to check on her. So we have the reenactment of Dean and Paula coming to the home, and Dean is acting the pervert and peeking in all the windows and smashing at the door, which he would. And he runs around to the other side of the house and he's looking in the windows again, doing kind of pervert moves. He looks in a back window and he can see legs laying flat on the floor, just legs sticking out on the floor. So Dean screams at the top of his lungs, screams in the reenactment, screams so loud, even though his wife is standing 1 foot away. And he screams, call 911. And I want to say, Dean, your wife is right next to you. You know what? She figured it out. She's probably already calling. You didn't need to scream that right in her face.
She is also hearing.
Yeah, she's on the ball and she's got it called, but you didn't need to be so fucking dramatic and scream that like that. But good for you to do that. We're all trained to just scream, call 911, even though you're supposed to point, like you're supposed to point to a person, aren't you? To like give them the job so they know they have the job or whatever. So, but he just, Paula knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
So this is a start, they said, of a totally weird and fucked investigation. I don't know if they use those words, but that's pretty much it. Now we're going to go back 10 years. 10 years before we see poor Miriam on the kitchen floor. We see Miriam at her job. She's a nurse at a St. Louis hospital. I cannot tell if the hair is a wig or if the hair is normal, but it looks like King Kong came to Miriam, bent over and farted. And she had like a tsunami, tornado, hurricane fart from King Kong that made her hair askew. That's what she looked like at work. Come on now, comb it. Use a little bit of that hot oil. Put it in a hot water like we did in the 90s and put it in your hair.
She wasn't doing the 90s right, because her bangs, it was like wherever the fart landed was right in the front, and it just blew her bangs down over, but they were still curly, like,
but then the but sides they were shorter, went out,
and then the like the a layers Christmas tree out. Yes,
I don't know.
That was a powerful fart.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, King Kong's a big guy.
Yeah,
you know what, and he's eating all sorts of roughage. I'm assuming. Is that heaven? I mean, he's just eaten. Anyway, she was a perfusionist. And that is a heart, the person who runs the heart and lung machine. Yes. I mean, that's a heavy duty job. You have to know, man, you can't mess that up. No. So she was really good at her job. She was very smart, worked really hard. And here's where we see an interview. I thought he was cute. His name is Dr. Zama. Was his Nietzsche his first name? But Dr. Zama, he was kind of cute. He's a work colleague of Miriam's eventual husband, Dick. Richard Illis. Ill Dick.
Yeah. Yep.
Miriam, and he's talking about how Miriam was like a nice lady and so on. Miriam meets a very charismatic doctor, which is unusual because I feel like most doctors, you might say they're on the spectrum.
Yeah.
But she meets Dick Ill, otherwise known as Richard Illis. And he is a very intelligent, popular, kind of nice seeming doctor she works with. And he is a heart surgeon. So he is really smart, pretty busy.
That guy said, yeah, like he was brilliant.
Yes. Very brilliant at his job. He was never married, and Miriam had never been married either. These two start dating. And I feel like Miriam on this date was checking her watch a lot, because Dick starts telling Miriam stories about his childhood in rural Pennsylvania. And I have a feeling like she tried to go to the shitter a few times, or, I mean, a snooze fest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, whatever. But one of these stories will come circle round. So he says one of the bright spots of his childhood was spending time with family friend, quote, Uncle Joe. And I wrote, oh, no, did Uncle Joe take you to a basement and show you his wang? I feel like that's the only time with family friend Uncle Joe kids get. Maybe they get a little bit of, like, put your hand in the popcorn.
Well, in the reenactment, Uncle Joe looked like he was from the Smoky Mountains.
I mean, Uncle Joe looked like he was living in a cardboard box in the woods.
Yeah.
And that he did enjoy taking his wang out for children.
Yeah. But he also had a gun and was also showing children how to shoot guns.
Right.
That was his other thing.
Yeah. So Uncle Joe would take good old Dick Ill hunting. He had a cabin. So Dick Ill, Richard Illis, grew up deer hunting, being outside. And here we have commenting one. I'm assuming it is one of the, they never tell him his fucking name, but I had the closed captions on, as I always do. And the sergeant, one of the detectives who was commenting throughout the whole episode being interviewed, his last name was Dingus. So it kept saying Dingus, and then it would be what he said. So Dingus is also talking, but we get to him. Dingus was telling about the history of of Richard growing up hunting, which comes into play. Hunting, being very familiar with guns, being outside, being a crack shot. His whole childhood was this, and he loved it. When Miriam and Richard decide to get married in 1991, Richard wants to move the couple to a very small, homey town called Williamsport, Pennsylvania, which was close to Richard's family, close to where this cabin was, where he grew up in the woods. He wanted that hometown, small town feel for his family. As Dingus,
good old Dingus is telling us. Yeah,
they have a son and name him Little Richard. Oh, come on! You don't. Woo! 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 So Little Richard, thankfully, goes by Richie. But geez, so Little Richard's born. Miriam decides, fuck it, I'm gonna not work, I'm gonna stay at home with my kid. And good for her, she can stay home because Big Dick is doing loaded so well as the town doctor, a surgeon in town, that he is making a shit ton of cash. And they're doing really, really well. They are, and they look happy in the reenactment. They're playing catch in the yard as a family and in their swimming pool as a family. Miriam can join a church she really loves. She joins the PTA. They buy this huge, beautiful home on a hill. They're doing really well. They're popular in town. They're very influential. They're one of the wealthiest families in town. And he's, his business is thriving in his heart business and his surgery. Miriam, by her friends, is described, you know, as really, really wealthy, but she never flaunts it. She never, you know, it's ostentatious. Well, they just, I think, said,
yeah, that.
But there is a scene in the reenactment where they said she had all this beautiful jewelry, and then they show it, and it's shitty costume jewelry thrown on like a shitty stand. Like, that
wasn't that pretty.
That's not what I meant. Mm-mm. That's not Liz Taylor's collection.
No,
Liz Taylor did not have this shitty beads
right
from Bourbon Street.
No. Like,
No. Anyway, all Miriam wanted to do was just raise her son. Spend time with her son. Her son meant everything to her. She was a great mom. Everybody agreed she was a great mom. Dr. Zawa says even Dr. Illis, Richard, was even a great father and a great husband. That, as far as he knew, you know. Although Dr. Illis worked a lot, he had a thriving heart surgery business. Obviously, he's going to be really, really busy. He was at the hospital all the time. And they show a reenactment of Miriam just drinking her wine alone at home and all angry. And I wrote, bitch, come on. Your husband isn't home and you can drink wine by yourself?
Just drink.
What the hell's wrong with you?
No one's judging you?
Just
live it out.
Sit down and watch your shows. Yeah. And drink your wine, and you don't need your goddamn husband at home.
That's what
I said.
What
are you
going
to do with him? Like, live it up. That's every woman's dream, to not have their spouse or partner home all the time. Good grief. Anyway, she liked him, I guess. I don't know. But Miriam and Dick start growing apart, and it gets farther and farther apart to where they decide we need to separate. It's not working. Miriam's friends say she never told any of us because the entire community just knew anyway. When they separated, everyone seemed to know. I guess they were that much of a well-known couple. Who knows?
Well, it's like where we live, too. Yeah, it's a big but small town. Yeah. We're the biggest gossips of the whole place. So.
Correct. So there's a reenactment where Miriam is with her lawyer and Big Richard is with his lawyer. And Miriam wants $14,000 a month, I'm guessing, in spousal support or something. And Richard throws a huge fit, starts threatening that he's going to take little Richard. You don't want to raise a... Men don't want to raise a goddamn kid. Why do they threaten that all the time? It's like, okay, fine. Name his doctor. Name his dentist. When was the last time he was at the dentist?
They don't have
What's
a
his
clue.
Favorite food? Who is your child's teacher?
Nope.
You know, what? When was the last time they went to... Have you ever filled out a well child exam
They have
thing?
Not.
No! Do you even know where their sports are? Who is their coach? Where is their dance?
No clue.
What pills do they take? What are they allergic to? Fuck off! That's what you should say. You know what? You go fuck off.
Right.
Threatening custody. You don't want a kid, asshole. And you're going to pay me $14,000 a month and you're going to like it.
Yeah! Yes, Sarah.
And he throws a fit, and then she's
Fuck
like,
yeah.
And he's like, that's an outrageous amount. And she says, that's how much he spends on his whores in the weekend.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we don't talk about that here.
Yeah.
And then
we do.
Her lawyer just says, like, you are the richest resident in town, asshole.
Everyone
knows it. And you're going to have to pay this, you stupid dildo. That's what he said, actually. Anyway, Miriam moves out. She buys her own house and she's starting to just start her life over again. She kind of, I think, is sad for a little bit, but she turns it around and starts making, you know, spending time with her friends and getting more involved in her hobbies and her church and her PTA. Little Richard lives with her during the week.
I can't with little
and
Richard.
And he goes, ugh. Who's lunch? Who's at the door? Who were you on the phone with? Who's coming over for dinner? That's what he says every day. And then little Richard has a tiny little drawn-on mustache. And Miriam has to say, God damn it, Richard, wash off the mustache every day with the goddamn mustache.
How much gel is in your hair, Richard? I told you to leave my hair products alone.
Oh, jeez. So during the week, he's driving Miriam nuts, and Richard gets him on the weekends. And he says to Richard, Dad, do you want to play guess? And Richard says, yeah, sure I do. You know I do, asshole. Anyway... The divorce is getting finalized. They actually look like they're moving on appropriately and maturely. Richard, of course, gets a hot new piece of butthole at the hospital, this new young girlfriend. And I don't think Miriam's seeing anybody at all, but she doesn't care.
No, nope. She's smart. And
yeah, she's
care.
Not messing with that shit. And her friend said, we got to early 1999 and they seemed to be moving on really well, handling everything very maturely and passing off, mm-hmm. getting along well and passing off Richie just back and forth mm-hmm. fine. Everything was going great. She was thinking, is she going to start working again? Things seemed happy. And we get to January 15th, 1999, where Dean and Paula notice she wasn't at church. They get worried. They go to her house. They see legs on the floor. They call the police, as Dean so screams. Yeah. The police dramatically enter, like they're Cagney and Lacey kicking down the door and like rolling and doing dramatic like pointing and clear or stuff like that. You know, like, come on, there's a dead woman
doing
on the floor.
Doing the two-finger wave. Wave it.
Just walk in, assholes. Yeah. But, you know, you don't
Is it Leslie? No.
Miriam.
Leslie was the friend.
Yeah.
God, I always get the names wrong. Oh. Miriam's dead on the floor. Just fucking
right,
go get
for
her.
Days. You can smell it. No one's in there. They find Miriam in the kitchen. They call for detectives right away. You know, these dicks are rolling all over and, you know, shooting their guns. So they call the detectives in, and this is where Dingus comes into play. They say she was inside the kitchen, face down, so laying fully face down. She had actually been shot through the heart, but from behind. So it's like she had turned to the shooter and he shot her through the back, through
her
heart.
That's a good shot.
A very good shot. Kind of a clean shot right through her heart where she just fell over. In the kitchen, they noticed the kitchen window glass is broken and glass is on the inside counter. So the shot went from outside into the house.
Right.
And they're realizing the shot somewhere outside the house in the area of these woods by her house. And she was just, whatever, sitting in her kitchen window and got shot. Mm-hmm. Doing, you know, whatever you do at your kitchen window. Although I have a coworker who, well, she moved now, but her old house was kind of in a neighborhood, you know, where houses are like one on top of the other.
Yeah.
She would look out her kitchen window, and usually you look out your kitchen window, you want to see a lovely scene. Her kitchen window went right into the bathroom of her neighbor. They had something against having their, you know, blinds down. So the blinds are always up. So every time she is trying to do the dishes, the dad goes in and takes a huge diarrhea, and she can see him pulling down his big ass pants, sitting on the toilet. They're never closing the blinds. And then when the mom is taking a shower, she's just all naked and they can see from their kitchen.
That's unfortunate.
What are you doing? You know you look right into a home.
I feel like I never.
Oh, no. That means everyone has seen your huge bush.
I'm still. That's for sure. I'm so still on the farm in my head.
Oh,
like,
no.
I'm just like, whatever. And then I'm like, fuck, my window's wide open.
Oh,
like,
dear.
I just don't.
Well, you know what? They've seen it
then.
If they've seen it, they've seen it.
No one says anything.
Yeah. The police go outside and they find evidence around a tree where the shooter had used a tree maybe for support to help aim the gun. There's a discarded cigarette butt right on the floor close to the tree. They collect that. The shooter was 73 feet behind her house. So he shot from that distance. That's a pretty good shot. The shooter obviously was waiting at that location until Miriam went into that window scene. And when he got the perfect shot, he took it. So who knows how long he was waiting. So this is Sunday, you know, morning-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, later afternoon, night, the police are still obviously in the house, looking at the house, looking at the grounds. Richard drives up with little Richie. Detectives are working on the crime scene and Richard comes over. Oh my goodness, what has happened here? This is my ex-wife's house where my son lives. And detectives say Miriam is dead and Richard big crying. The police say he did show some emotion, but the first question he asked them was, what evidence was found? Which was very odd question to ask.
What did you find?
What evidence was found? What? So the cops are like,
weird.
And they pretty much tell him to piss off and take Richie home.
Right.
And he tells Richie about his mom. And Richie, of course, is fucking devastated. You know, And he goes off. Police are finding more evidence as they're searching. They found size 14 shoe prints around the tree. And they said that we are looking for a clown.
And it appears that Ronald McDonald
was seen in the area. They also investigate. Miriam has a tennis court, but it's locked. But they find in the tennis court, so they have to cut the lock, a discarded homemade silencer just thrown onto the tennis court. What kind of a dummy would do that? Well, we'll find out. A complete moron would do that. I mean, there's only one reason to do that, and that was the reason the moron did it.
Right.
But police interview neighbors saying, you know, did you notice anything? Did you notice anything going on or what was going on? And they were like, no, I didn't notice anything. I didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. And they said Miriam was nice. There was nothing, you know, suspicious about her. Everyone loved her. She had nothing weird going on. Everything was normal. This is where the show then is saying, is there a mysterious shooter in the neighborhood just shooting women in the tits? And they have this backlit hillbilly smoking with like a hillbilly type hat, like a big old torn hillbilly hat and a big hillbilly mustache with a gun. But he's backlit, so it's just like an outline of a hillbilly and pointing his gun. And I'm like, what is this? Nobody thinks it's a weird a hillbilly in Pennsylvania.
No.
I don't know. So I was like, okay. Anyway, they take the silencer, the cigarette, these clues into the lab. There is DNA on the cigarette. It's not Dr. Illis's DNA. Mm-mm. The silencer had three weird hairs jammed into the barrel. None of those match Dr. Illis.
Just Randall.
Ronald McDonald's shoes were size 14, and Richard is a 9.5. Little Richard is right with a 9.5 foot.
Yeah.
Police interview Richard to say what, you know, obviously he's the ex-husband. He's going to be first. So he said, what the hell were you doing? You know, whatever. Tell me your fucking story or whatever. Richard said it was his weekend to have Richie and they had planned to go visit some relatives out of town. So he gets a dig in, which is fucking Dick. But that's his name. So he says, Richie was hungry when we started on the road. That's because mom didn't feed him.
Oh, my God.
She's dead, asshole.
Yes.
And of course she fed him.
I hate you so bad.
Oh, but you probably said, do you want to go to McDonald's? And every kid is going to say, of course,
yeah, I do.
Asshole.
Yeah. Mom so didn't feed me.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you just had a fucking giant 3-course meal that your mom slaved over.
I know. You were too busy painting on your fake mustache, probably. But of course she fed him.
You didn't see it, little Richard.
And he said he went to McDonald's and then he was like, I'm a surgeon and I had been working all day and I was just tired. So we stopped at a local motel.
And what?
I mean, he was driving to his relatives. So he says, I was too tired to drive after McDonald's. We check into a local motel. All right, fine. The next morning, they go to Harrisburg. I don't know how far that is from where they are. And they visit family all weekend, and they return.
20 minutes.
Yeah, Sunday evening. The alibi seems to check out because, yes, they were at that local hotel. Yes, he had Richie. Yes, he was with the family when he said, and he returned when he said. So far, that is working out.
Cool.
And they think, oh, all right. They pull up Miriam's phone records, and they get a massive clue or something that's really helpful. She was on the phone when she got shot with her friend, and her friend said at this time the phone just went silent. She stopped talking. The phone call ended and it was 10:37. So they know 10:37 on Friday night, that's exactly when she was shot. So they have an exact date. And Dingus even says, you rarely ever get an exact date because the coroner is guessing between hours.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get an exact time, you know, like that. And she was probably like me at 10:37 over her sink, furiously eating.
Yeah.
Because she's still
what
hungry.
What else can I eat? I'm hungry.
And gets shot. Just trying to live her goddamn life.
Having some salsa and
chips. Just trying to talk to her friend. It's just.
I'm so sad for this woman. For the heartburn to wake her up at 2 a.m.
Oh,
but no.
Or taking her pills.
Yes.
Oh, this poor woman. Police have nothing in 6 weeks pass. Police get a letter in the mail, like Jack the fucking Ripper. And a letter
weird
comes.
Ass.
Yeah. Saying the writer claims to be the killer of Miriam. Because, and then the writer's talking about all this evidence that only, you know, that the police didn't say to the public. So only the killer would know. The letter is written in block letters with pencil and saying weird ass shit like, I shot Miriam. The Lord told me to harvest the town of its racists. Mm-hmm. And the police talk to her friends or have talked to all her friends, and they don't remember any of them saying she was a goddamn racist, or it never came up. It sounds weird. You see then the two police, Dingus and Shittus or whatever, go to a bar and say these theories that are so fucking weird that I think Dingus is always on some sort of like mushroom that grows underneath a porta potty. He's on these mushrooms because these theories are fucked.
He started off too when they met. He was like, here's how it goes. He's just like shiny bald hair. And then he has hot glasses that I swear to God. These people didn't even put fake lenses in the glasses. It looked like it was just literally the wire frame.
Yes, there was no lenses.
And he could just poke his eyeball out with it. And then he takes them off and he's like, she's from Lebanon. She's Lebanese. What
but
does
not
everybody think?
Lesbian.
No, like not Blanche. A lesbian. Nope.
Thought on
what
Golden
does everyone
Girls.
Think? Arab.
Yeah. And his whole theory is that a Sunday school Karen is mad that this Arab woman is teaching Sunday school and probably brainwashing their child Arab things, I guess.
What?
This is where the reenactment that blew our butthole.
And then all of a sudden we're in black and white and it is the fucking weirdest thing you've ever seen.
I don't. We're in the deep south for some reason instead of
Pennsylvania.
This Pennsylvania suburb. There is again the hillbilly that looks like what Sam from Bugs Bunny.
Oh, Yosemite Sam. Yeah.
But hillbilly, more hillbilly-esque.
With that kind of a mustache and beard. Yeah.
And then there is a very dirty, unkempt lady.
With a high top knot.
And wearing Paul Bunyan's t-shirt.
Yes.
In dirty sweatpants
and
that are period sweatpants.
And a thousand kids behind her. And she says, yelling at her husband something about... The Arab woman is teaching our kids about Arab stuff.
And then she's like, what are you going to do about it? To her redneck husband.
And he literally has 9 guns around his waistband. He has a can of like old Milwaukee in his hand and his baseball cap is on backwards and it says American Badass.
Oh God. And uglier. I mean, as dumb as he is ugly, which
no
is very dumb.
Shirt,
very
no
ugly.
Shirt, nothing. Just like.
No. And so he runs out because he's got to shoot this woman, clearly. I mean, this
it
is insane.
Even make sense.
And then he comes back home and he says, that Arab lady is done.
She's dead.
And then he writes a letter about racists. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense, Dingus.
None.
God, he was. Don't. Do the magic mushrooms that grow under the porta potty.
No.
Those ones aren't really
the only magic
good.
Mushrooms that are safe are the ones that you take.
In my mushroom drink?
In your mushroom magic
That's
mind
true.
Drink.
They are. No shit. They also think the letter writer could also just be a dick that's the real killer that's just trying to send them off track. You think so, buttholes?
God, don't be dumb.
What the hell is wrong with you? What is going on in your mind?
I don't know.
But I guess you have to think of all these fucking weird stuff. I don't know. Miriam for sure was the target. It wasn't just some random. And so that at least put some people at ease. She definitely was the target. There's only one asshole in town who would want to do anything to her. My God. Police finally realize that, the letter's probably just sent to throw us off the track. And they follow up with that angle. And they notice that there's a hair glued to the flap. So they DNA test this hair on the weird letter. It does not match the cigarette. It doesn't match the silencer. It doesn't match Richard.
Just so much shit.
Yes. And they kind of are stuck again. And months and months go by. And then another letter comes to the police, and it's fucked more than the last one. And the letter writer is saying that the letter, you know, that he, the letter writer, killed Miriam, but it's not Dr. Illis. They say in the letter, come on, you drive, you read that one line, you put the letter down, you get in your car and you drive you to his drive house to and his you house. Arrest yes. him. Come on. Yep. Can't just one person be, just one person do something normal?
I don't think so.
The author is bragging that I speak many languages. I have access to the Illis home when they're not home. I'm at the silencer at the Illis's home.
And it's not right there. The doctor.
You put down the letter and you arrest him because only a dumb asshole that did it. Only Richard's writing this clearly, right. You fuckers. But the letter starts pointing more and more and more and more to a colleague, an Indian colleague, Dr. Singh, who's just trying to do his job and fucking work at Richard's mm-hmm. clinic. And the whole letter describes it that Dr. Singh killed Miriam because he was having, the letter suggests he was having an affair with Miriam. And so now Dingus and Chittis go to the bar again. They eat a whole garbage bag full of porta pot of mushrooms and come up with this idea. They say, so here's my next theory. Dr.
Ridiculous.
Singh did it. Dr. Singh goes out partying one night. I don't think a heart surgeon's going to go out partying. I don't know. Maybe they do, but I feel like he didn't. He gets fucking hammered and Miriam walks into the same bar and Dr. Singh is just fucking hammered. And he goes up to Miriam and just like starts kissing her and grabbing her tits. And Miriam doesn't like it, so she slaps him. And the next morning, Dr. Singh calls and says, hey, Miriam, I was fucking hammered. And sorry, I was grabbing your tits and sticking my finger up your butthole in your Wranglers. And she says, I didn't appreciate that, you sticking your finger up my butthole.
I hated it.
It was unsolicited. Mm-hmm. I didn't care for it. And Dr. Singh, and then she's like, you know what? I'm going to tell Richard. And he's like, don't tell Richard. I'll be fired. She says, I'm telling fucking Richard. And don't tell Richard, I'll be fired. And she says, I'm telling Richard, and hangs up. And then he kills her because she was going to fucking tell Richard. The dumbest. So he goes at 10 at late. I'm just
shaking my head.
I don't understand. And so then they go to Dr. Singh and he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he has an ironclad alibi. He was out at a restaurant with his friends being mm-hmm. a normal fucking person. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I did not have an affair with her. I knew her. She was my partner's wife. Right. What are you talking about?
Right. So it's another weird thing. Like, don't send me back to wherever. Where was he from?
I think he was from India.
India. Yeah.
I mean, like, just targeted.
No one's going to get. God. Oh,
yeah. They were just threatening with this shit. And he's just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I just have been doing my job. What are you talking about?
Right.
Anyway, 6 months after the shooting, 6 months go by, there's some dildo Baggins fisherman walking through some fucking woods and he sees a rifle laying in the woods. Yeah. And I would probably just like be, do I keep it? I don't know. But he brings it to the police, which is a good thing.
Terrified.
I don't
know.
What is it? It looks like old and weird sitting there. He brings it to the police. The rifle is wiped clean and the serial number is literally drilled out, not just scraped, like drilled
right.
out. So there's no
drilled
way
a hole in it, yeah.
to recover it. The weapon is very old and pretty distinctive and has extremely unique modifications that were not original to the weapon.
Because it's old as fuck. It's like what our grandpa's yes. used in the yes. Civil War or something.
There had been a set screw drilled into the rifle, and the set screw was a perfect placement for the homemade silencer to be fit onto the rifle. So the police are like, all right, this is our weapon. It fits the silencer. And then they confirmed it with ballistics from whatever was picked up in Miriam's body. So this yes. was the gun that killed her. It was a Savage Model 23D. I don't know whatever the hell that means.
What?
It was last sold to a person in 1949. And this was before ownership papers were a thing. So you could just give guns around to whoever, which I feel
right.
like you still
well, that's kind of what it
kind of can
now.
Do still okay. today. Yeah. Anyway, they realize now, okay, we have a huge, we have the weapon, but we're still kind of fucked. We got to get this weapon. They're thinking more and more Dr. Illis did it, but they don't have any solid evidence.
Right.
connecting all this shit to him. That's what they have to work on. He does not help himself at all because he marries his new piece of vag 6 months after the murder. Mm-hmm. What is this bride doing marrying this man whose wife was murdered suspiciously? He is the main suspect. What are you doing?
I think she's seen dollar signs.
Yeah, I think she is seeing dollar signs.
I've never seen those, so I don't know.
I don't know what they look like myself.
I've heard that sometimes people see them.
I must have looked at a dollar sign eclipse. And I cannot see them, dollar signs.
I had a dollar sign retinal occlusion.
Yes, you did.
So I cannot am also see them either. Unable to see
them. And you never will. Dr. Illis thinks the whole town is after him because, you know, he kills people. So he moves away with the new wife and little Richard. And they end up in Washington State. Yes. Which is very I would be excited, too, to go to Washington State. So all the way on the other side of the country. How
not
weird.
Me. Yeah. Because my hair would be horrible with all the rain.
Oh,
and
I suppose you're right. But it's
moisture.
Lovely.
Moisture.
Richard's applying for all sorts of jobs so we can fucking work. But there is some brilliant winner.
Yeah.
Some true American
hero. This
is a
true American hero right here.
Sending a packet to all of his potential bosses. And the packet says, this guy's a murderous fucking asshole.
Don't hire him.
Don't hire him. And it works. Like, all the employees are like, oh my God, you've like fucking murdered your wife. Yep. Get out of here. And so Richard cannot be a heart surgeon anymore because he's not going to get hired. But then he can seamlessly move into plastic surgery and do tits.
And then the reenactments of
was
him.
Was absolutely inappropriate.
Come on. He wasn't really. I mean.
I hope not.
No.
So there's a woman in there getting a boob job. And he's like, you're in the A minor leagues, but I'm going to move you up into like the big time.
I'm
going
to move you up to the majors.
Yeah.
And then another woman comes in and opens her shirt. And he goes, oh. Lovely or something. I'm like, no,
that's totally unprofessional.
That's not what you fucking say. You know what
I know.
You,
I went through it.
Had the reduction. You know they didn't go like, oh, you're in the major leagues. We're gonna take you. We're gonna kick you down to the minors.
I'm like, oh, that sounds great. But I had a woman and she was smart.
Thank God.
I don't know when they did this search, if they did it in Washington or before he moved, because it wasn't clear. But police, I think it was before he moved. Police had a search warrant for Richard's house. I think at the time of the shooting, actually. But there's some reason putting it into the story here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't make any fucking sense.
I feel like they went back.
Yes. I don't know. They
did he still own the house? But he, and so they finally
they
got
didn't make any of that shit
it?
Clear.
I don't know.
Richard, next to his bed, had an FBI handwriting book, as we all do.
It was a
book about how to disguise your handwriting when killing your wife, I guess. And it says to print in block printing in pencil.
Yes.
And it teaches you how to send anonymous letters to throw the police off your trail.
The book is called They Write Their Own Sentences. That's what it's called.
What? Can't you be more just cleverer? I don't know. Oh, I guess because you write your own sentences because you get arrested because you're so dumb by following the advice in the book?
I don't know.
I don't know.
If you can still buy it to this day.
So that's circumstantial, but it's pretty... it's exactly what the fucker did. They also know that Richard grew up with Uncle Joe shooting, and he was a very sharp shot. He was a great shot. He could have made that shot 73 feet through the window, no problem. And as all his friends have said, and Dr. Zawa, he always carries a fucking gun on him. He's that guy because he's a dick. Mm-hmm. 4 years go by, and police had wanted to talk to little Richard as much as they could get out of him. And Richard, Big Richard, refused. So by the time they talked to Richie, like 4 years later, he's like, I don't fucking remember shit.
Right.
I don't know. I was 5 and traumatized. What the hell is wrong with you? They get nothing from him. And he obviously just doesn't remember and doesn't probably want to remember, you know. Police find somehow another relative of Big Richard. And she is just sitting there showing family photos. And the police are like, oh, that's fine. they learn that Uncle Joe is actually Richard's real dad. I don't know if he ever knew Uncle Joe was fucking dad or what the whole deal is. Super weird, and it's never explained. Why is his dad acting like Uncle Joe when he's his dad and he was around him all the time? Couldn't you just say I'm your dad? I don't get it. Or what's like...
It's probably one of those weird things where
like
he
his
was
brother
too
is
young,
married to the woman. Or, I don't know.
And
maybe.
So they had to, they wanted him in the family, but they took him and raised him as
who knows
brothers. But it was his dad.
Anyway, Uncle Joe is in a picture with the old fucking rifle, the Savage 23D, and the police are like, "That's the rifle."
And these are like old black and white.
Yes, and they can tell it's the rifle. Yeah. So they're like, okay, Richard, that's the rifle. That's Richard's dad. Obviously, there's a connection now to the rifle, and they're super excited. Investigators search through the woods one more time, and they find the size 14 shoes. There was a hair on the shoe. Big Richard's DNA didn't match, but they tested for little Richard's DNA, and it matches. So he uses his own son's hair to throw him off the track, but it's your son. Go to get a pube off the McDonald's toilet.
That had to be an accident.
Has to be because he wouldn't use that one.
Because everything else he
took hair from strangers,
planted DNA everywhere else.
So they realized he fucked up there, and little Richard's hair was on it. So finally, they have enough that the DA, who was like everything's too circumstantial, agrees to arrest him. So Richard gets arrested and he gets surprised and just arrested on the side of the road.
And they're so afraid he's going to shoot the shit out of everyone because he always is carrying. So they like have, they're totally surprised and they're like, do you know who we are? Yeah. And then they just quick
grab him
because they're afraid he's going to shoot the shit out of everyone.
And they search his new home and he has shit ton of guns and they're all Uncle Joe's guns. So they know he got this gun from Uncle Joe. At the same time, Richard, who is the dumbest doctor, smart person.
Right.
He's dumb. But exceptionally smart. Dumb. He's writing a fucking book about Miriam's murder from the point of view of the killer. And he's pretty much just writing a book of exactly what he did. And it's called Heart Shot. And he writes exactly the whole murder. Exactly as it happened, all in a fucking book, and it's all on his computer.
And to say what it said of when he shot him.
And it said, when the killer shot Miriam, the killer, what did it say? The killer had an
orgasmic experience when the bullet went through her heart.
I mean,
excuse me?
Who would say it like that? And then.
Well, they all read it and they were like, this guy's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, he is. And at trial, the prosecutors are just saying he drugged Richie and Richie went, you know, gave
him. He gave his own kid drugs to make him sleep so that he could go murder his mom.
Yes, and then lied
and
to him.
Like,
and
he was like in the car the whole time.
Yeah. And then he planted all this fucking false evidence. He went to the hotel and then he just, you know, did all this other shit. The jury finds him guilty, of course.
But it took 3 days.
I know. And they said they found it quick. No, they didn't. 3 days is not
That's
quick.
A long time. Maybe they were hungry. They wanted.
Yeah, they wanted to get away from.
They wanted
family.
A hotel getaway.
But the prosecutor kept saying, "He said orgasm," like 800 times.
They were so disgusted.
They were so
by that.
And the reporters were like, "What a sick pervert!" Only a whispering pervert, 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 pervert. Yeah, through the. And so he's guilty for being a murderous
dick.
Asshole.
Now, again, he had already paid for the divorce.
What is going on? And he had plenty of money to shit out his ass. Why would he do this? And they were getting along and he was getting married and she didn't give two shits about what he did.
He was. And this is one of those instances where they didn't find like horrible, like bankrupt issues. Like they never found, like it didn't say that he was overspending and bankrupt or whatever.
It needed her insurance or anything.
No, he just fucking killed
her. He hated her so much. Yeah, and he wanted, I don't know.
He didn't want to pay her the $14,000 in alimony.
Oh.
Greedy fucker.
What a fool. It's just an arrogant, arrogant narcissist fool. And then you
drug your own kid so you can kill his mom. Sorry.
Just horrible. Horrible. Anyway, that's our story for this week. Thank you for listening. I guess.
Yeah.
We'll see you next
Thank
week.
Thank you. And make sure that you subscribe if you haven't. Make sure you give us a
rating. Oh, we would like a review.
We love reviews. Yes. They help us so much.
They do, actually.
Share with all your friends. We appreciate all our support. We love seeing our fans. And we're doing, you know, more and more of these kind of like public things. So we get to meet you. And that is the highlight of our lives.
It is, really.
So thank you so much.
God. Sorry, my dog is now under
my seat. Oh, that's okay. Bye.
Bye.